You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Stone's throw. That's right. Then we're back screwing off again. Tell you what I did on over the weekend. Tell you what I did yesterday. Yesterday was the dedication of the 5th Marine Regiment Vietnam War Memorial. Okay. And so I went down to Camp Pendleton and hung out and with Marines. And it was awesome. for a few reasons. One, being in the company of Marines, always a good time. Always funny. And second of all, I don't know that I've ever been in the company of that many Gold Star families in my life. Yeah, 100 families, over 100 families from Vietnam, whose names of a relative were among the 2,700 plus names of Marines and sailors who fought under the battle colors of the 5th Marine Regiment and were killed in Vietnam in action. So,
I thought about, you know, why I wanted to go and I don't need to go. Maybe I'll just hang out. And, I thought, it's important that most of these families probably have never been touched by the Marine Corps. You know, they lost their Marine 50 years ago and they've never had, you know, experience the Marine Corps and our tribe, you know, putting our arms around them. And some have. I'm sure most have not. And I thought, you know what? So whatever group stands up to applaud
you should be part of that McNamara. So, and so I think that was a big part, a big component of the event. Weather was beautiful. General Eric Smith presiding, and Nick War gave the who knew? All Marine Radio's own Nick War gave the commencement address, whatever you call that thing. I know it's not a commencement, but who's the keynote? He was the keynote speaker. Very cool. What do you say when you have all these veterans? And so I get there, and I'm no stranger to San Mateo, stationed there myself, when I was with 5th Marines in 2006. I have a son who's part of 3-5 now. One of his buddies was standing at OOD, and he tells me that he has the uniform of the day is dress blues for the officer of the day. I said, what? Oh, that'll hurt. So I went by to say hi and to take a picture. But they had modified it. He was in blue Charlies or whatever, whatever we call your dress blue pants with your Charlie blouse, and which is the short sleeve tan shirt. So he was in that. So I got a chance to talk to him, and then made my way over to the area where the dedication was going on. So you walk in, there's tables set up. Are you a VIP? Are you? So I didn't know if I had registered to even go to it. So there's like four staff sergeants standing at this one table. So I said, oh, this must be the important tables. All you staff sergeants. So they all start laughing. I said, this must be, yeah. And it must be brain stuff if you guys are involved, Jeff. And they look at me like, who's this jackass? So, no, they laughed. So they look, so you're not on the list. I said, so like I'm in the bottom of the Titanic? And they're like, yep. I said, okay, you know what that means. Check out that front row in 10 minutes. I'll be sitting it. And they're like, they started laughing like, no doubt, sir. Nobody's paying attention. So, it was, someone's out, and the ceremony was projected to last about 90 minutes, and it did. And so, I thought, you know what? It's better to be in the shade. So I stood in the shade underneath a tent. The corner of a tent where I had a good view. So I wound up standing. So then other Marines like think, you know what? I need to stand by that smart guy over there. Mm-hmm. So pretty soon there's a few Marines standing around. So if you can imagine a U-shape event, okay. The honors platoon is obviously in the center of the U, along with the podium and the MC, whatever we call that person, the reader. Good looking sergeant and did a good job. And so, the XO of 5th Marines is a friend of mine, John Giannopoulos. Good dude. We served together at One Math. And then General Eric Smith, Major General Eric Smith presided, another friend of mine. And then, so I'm standing, as you're looking at the U, I'm standing at the bottom. So there's tent on the right U. There's bleachers on the left side of the U. Okay. Across the bottom of the U, there's two more tents. So the bleachers have sun. So I look, I say, well, let me stand at the bottom right hand of the U behind the chairs inside the tent. So that's where I stand. So I'm standing there, and then this guy stand next to me. And I'll tell you a funny story. Guy standing next to me initially, and so we start talking. And he said he was part of 5th Marines. He said, I flew helicopters in Vietnam and then joined the Marine Corps later. And he said, I was here with John Hopkins when
He was a regimental commander of 5th Marines. I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said he liked me because, you know, he said in Vietnam that when Marines got in trouble, that Marine pilots wouldn't support him, but Army pilots would. So that immediately irritated me. I know, Mac, you're supposed to take your medications. I didn't say a word. I just nodded my head. Really? Okay. So what, are we cowards now? Like, look, and I don't really like our aviators that much, but don't, come on, man. Don't play that card. So I put the freeze on that guy. And his phone goes off in the middle of the cemetery. So you in the ceremony. So you know he's an Army guy, undisciplined, doesn't please his phone up. And I just look at him. And I'm thinking, and like loud. And it goes on. I'm like, okay, look, I know I can't hear. And so it was like a gathering of people that can't hear. And so he's standing there, and I look at him, and he looks at me. And I'm still irritated about, like, his comment. And I said, hey, man, your cell phone's going off. And he's like, whoop, 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 whoop. I almost backhanded him. But I didn't. So anyway, he leaves. Mercifully, he leaves. So I'm standing there, and here's this rough-looking Hispanic dude. You know, in his probably mid-70s. So he said something to me. He goes, you know, hey, man, what's going on? And I said, nothing. So as the ceremony concludes, General Smith moves with the Gold Star families to cut the ribbon, essentially, actually drop a cami net, the Marine Corps version of cutting the ribbon, with the Gold Star families and allow them time there right after that. So we're standing and talking, and his name is Carlos Mendez. Came all the way from South Carolina to be at that. Right? And I say that because, you know, what is Semper Fidelis? Right? What does that mean? Would you, 50 years after, would you spend the money to come all the way across country for a ceremony to honor guys that were killed with you? That's, you know, very cool stuff. So you may hear from Carlos Mendez one of these days. He was in Bravo 1-5. Yeah, Bravo Company. I said, Bravo, they suck, man. He starts laughing. He goes, what? I said, you heard me. Bravo, man. That's the ass of the of 1-5. Okay? He's like, what company were you in? I said, Charlie Company? Yeah, the main effort. He goes, come on, man. Charlie Company sucked. And I start laughing. But it was an awesome event. Yeah, like I said, I've never been in the presence of that many Gold Star families, I think, at one time. A Marine type, anyway. I don't know if I've ever, in any way, shape, or form, been in the presence of that many. And again, it was just very cool. And ceremony, well done. You know, Eric Smith is a pretty plain-spoken Texan and had cool things to say. Most importantly, though, his message to everybody was, hey, meet somebody here today. Meet one of these families, meet one of these Marines who has friends on this wall and hear their story, right? We need to keep this thing alive. And he also said, I also want to, you know, this Marine regiment of the 1st Marine Division is being represented in France as we speak. And actually, the ceremony was yesterday, was Sunday. And it commemorated the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Belleau Wood. And so, which we're going to do a battle study on, by the way. Somebody sent me an email and said, hey, Mac, why don't you do a, I don't know the tactics and actually what happened in Belleau Wood. I know we fought there. I know there's some great quotes that came out of that. But I don't really know about the battle itself. I thought, you know what? Neither do I. Neither do I. So we'll find some expert and bring them on, and we'll throw the maps up, and we'll make everybody smart about Belleau Wood. What happened there? Why did Dan Daly look around and say, and there's two great quotes to come out of here. Retreat, hell, we just got here, was one of them from, I think, a company commander or battalion commander. And Sergeant Major Dan Daly's quote, come on. You sons of bitch, nobody lives forever. Which, can you imagine looking up and here's your sergeant major going, I'm like, what did he just say? He said, nobody, let's go. Nobody lives forever. Like, all right, let's go then. No, it reminds me of, you know, things that, you know, that get said and people hear them and they look at their buddy next to them and they say, what did he just say? The quintessential one for me is on the backside of Gettysburg on the second day when Gettysburg is just going crazy, right? The chaplain of the Irish Brigade hops up on a rock to give the brigade a blessing. So they all grab a knee, remove their I don't know what the Army calls those little caps they wear. They remove their little caps. And these are Irish immigrants, right? Off the boat, hey, why don't you go fight for your country, your new country? Does it pay? Yeah, it pays. All right. So now they wind up at Gettysburg, and there even Irish people look and be like, this is not a good deal, bro. I don't really know that I want to be here today. Like, I just got here, man. I don't know much about this country except where I fought. So why don't we take off, right? So McNamara's there, and he's like, I'm not hanging out for this. We're headed to the wheat field, and good God. So anyway, the chaplain of the Irish Brigade hops up on the rock, and he says, remember, boys, anybody who deserts their colors or acts with cowardice is prohibited from entering the gates of heaven. What? So, yeah, you have your head down, and he's doing this, you know, may Almighty God, blah, 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 amen. Everybody says amen, right? And then you stand up and say, hey, what did he say about the gates of heaven, like, if you're a coward? Your buddy looks at you and says, can't get in if you're a coward. So what does that mean? If we take off, yeah, that means we're cowards. That means we're going to hell? Good God, man. We're screwed. We're screwed if we go that way. We're screwed if we go that way. So, no, Dan Daly's quote. So we'll do a battle study. But the Memorial Day, actually the weekend was probably the most pleasant weekend I've ever spent. And you want to know what I attribute it to? All Marine Radio. You want to know why? The therapeutic discussion about Memorial Day isn't ours. It belongs to the country. And therefore, we're in a support mode. They don't know. They haven't experienced what we've experienced, right? It's not a tribal event. It goes on outside the tribal confines. We, though, as tribal members, who the event is, you know, devoted partially to, or at least a portion of our tribe is recognized, and all of our tribe feels it, don't get upset by their ignorance. Okay? So when we share a piece of our culture with them, they're largely ignorant, and so you get what you get. So I think that helped me. So when the stupidity and the ignorance that people show, it's like, okay, I got it. You guys are stupid. You need help. Right? If you care to learn, I'll learn. I will tell you things that bother me. I asked the 14-year-old, Colleen. I asked her, I said, hey, Colleen, have you guys done anything in school? Talk about Memorial Day? She looked at me. No. She said, well, we might do something on Friday. Maybe. I guess maybe in history class or something. I said, so the answer to that is no. She says, yes. I said, okay. All right. And so that's, to me, what bothers me. You know, do you think it'll be discussed today in school that Starbucks is having a national stand down to do racial sensitivity training? Come on. It'll be all over the place. What a great deal it is. And do you think that very many classrooms around the country talked about Memorial Day and what it is and how you should conduct yourself and why we have it? Let me answer that question. No. Why? Because our educational system is filled with people who bring their politics into the classroom. And it shouldn't be that way. And look, I say this, it should be when we have a national holiday for Martin Luther King, for President's Day, for, I think it gives educators around the country an opportunity to talk about these things. And as young people age, the school system, the discussion should become different. Right? And the project should become different. You know, Memorial Day. Hey, find somebody on the Vietnam Wall and come in and tell us about them. And it can't be more, what you're going to tell is about 2 minutes, okay? We're going to go around the classroom. Everybody's going to meet somebody. I want to know where they were born. I want to know what they were like, and I want to know where they were killed. So it's kind of like going to the Holocaust Museum, and they give you, I don't know if it's a passport or something. It's a little card, and it has somebody's picture on it, who they were, what town they came from, and something about their family. And then you flip it over, and it tells you if they survived or if they died. And it makes it personal, right? When they're little ones, you don't do that, but you know, you talk about what the holiday, and I don't care, Labor Day, any of our holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I mean, that's all fodder for discussion with young people. Why do we do this? Okay, so yesterday in the afternoon, went over to my ex-wife's house and had shish kebab. Yeah, she grilled it. Very good. So I'm sitting on the couch with Catherine, and Catherine says, "Hey, Dad, check this out." I know the first thing she says, "Did you see Trump's speech?" And I said, "No." I said, "I tend not to watch his speeches. He's terrible." And she looks at me, she goes, "Really?" I said, "Come on. Have you ever seen him give a speech? It's, oh, my God, it's painful." And I said, in fact, Gunner was watching one on Thursday or Friday right before he came on the air with me. And then we got to talking about it. You know, we both are fans of his policies, but he, as a public speaker, it's rough, all right? It's rough. So she shows me this tweet, right? And I shit you not when I say this, right? Here's the tweet. Happy Memorial Day! Exclamation mark. Those who died for our great country would be very happy and proud to know how well our country is doing today. Best economy in decades, lowest unemployment numbers for blacks and Hispanics ever, and women rebuilding our military, and so much more. Nice. Like, what? What? And so I look at that and I think, this is probably a hoax, right? Because in the era of fake news. And so you look at who was it sent by. And at, what is it? His thing is the real Donald Trump or real Donald Trump, one of the two. And I'm like, oh, my God. So then I get to think, that's Kelly's fault. Kelly is responsible for supervising the president. So, you know, I hope somewhere Kelly's getting his ass chewed this morning for not policing up the president. Yeah. Yeah, Kelly, what's going on? What's going on? Why are you allowing that kind of a behavior? But again, like I said, I was in a happy place, right? He's just, and he's emblematic of America. Just stupid. Happy Memorial, yeah. Just go ahead and do a search on Happy Memorial Day. And you'll get all this stuff comes up. Alright? You get all these sales that go on, right? So it's incredible. The lack of, I would think, the lack of sensitivity. And so, the president is, he sticks his ass out there, right? So, anyway, what can you say? What can you say? Happy Memorial Day. We goofed on it last week. You know what? I'm okay with it. In fact, I said it to a couple of my friends. Hey, man, happy Memorial Day. They just looked at me like, what? And they started laughing. You're like, you ass. I'm like, come on, man, get over it. We're in support of the population. They're stupid. But so kind of a joke, right? Kind of a joke, right? Makes you laugh, right? But that's how stupid they are. But you would think that Kelly would supervise the president. You know, come on. What's going on? Kelly probably had the day off. Kelly probably had the day off. No, actually, I know. He was at Arlington yesterday. Somebody, Joe Patterson was there, you heard him, Captain Marine Corps. He was at Arlington visiting some graves and ran into General Kelly. General Kelly and Joe's, Sir General Kelly's son, Robert, and Joe served together in 3-5 when Robert was killed. So, yeah. Here's an email. Mac, honestly, the happy Memorial Day from the President of the United States, I did the same thing. I did a double take. That can't be him. Sure as shit, it was. Unbelievable. But because I listen to All Marine Radio, I didn't let it bother me. I agree with you. It helped me to know that we're in support of the general population, and they're stupid. You know, let me tell you, I don't know why that made a difference for me, but I don't know, it was like a little flak jacket around my heart. I didn't expect them to understand or know, because they've never experienced it. So I'm in the education mode. I'm in the education business. I'm a teacher this weekend. Hey, what's up? Yeah. Happy Memorial Day to you. Now, don't say that to anybody else, okay? It's inappropriate. What? Yeah, don't say that. What do I say? Just say, hey, how are you doing? And so, honestly, you can't make it up, right? You can't make it up. Yeah, I got an email about it. Hey, Mac, I thought this was a bad joke at first, but it is straight from real Donald Trump Twitter account. I thought it may have been taken out of context, just like the episode last week with the immigrants as animals. I think he has done a lot for the nation, but just when you think he gets it, then this. You would think that he knows from General Kelly the significance of Memorial Day. Semper Fidelis, Ty Edwards. And then he copy and paste it. No, I did the exact same thing, right? I just talked about it. I'm sitting on the couch. Catherine shows it to me. I'm like, fake news, fake news. I didn't say that. I thought it. I look. I'm like, oh, shit. Real Donald Trump on Twitter. Damn. Yeah. Just, again, you have the President of the United States, right? His chief of staff, a Gold Star family, Gold Star father. You know what? If you missed, I put it on yesterday. I put on three different pieces about Gold Star families. If you haven't heard General Kelly's discussion with me on All Marine Radio, first of all, he's been on my program. That's probably the third or fourth time. And John Kelly's a good friend of mine. And from when he was a major. And so we're battle buddies. So, but he talks about
Joe Dunford, who was the commandant. Was he commandant? Yeah, I think he was commandant. Was he commandant? I don't know if he was commandant. I don't think he was commandant. I'm not sure what Dunford was. Anyway, Dunford did the notification. And he talks about, I'll play it for you here. So I played that interview. I'll find it. You have to be patient with me. I'm going to have to grope around the interview, but I'll find it. It might be a couple minutes of audio, but he talks about the moment he became a Gold Star, father. Why is Joe Dunford here so early in the morning and in his alpha? And then he knew. I played the interview we've done with, if you've never heard it, listen to that. If you've never heard this one with Jennifer Carrazzo. She's a Gold Star wife. She started the Sugar Bear Foundation, named after her husband, who was killed in 2010, a Cobra pilot, Lieutenant Colonel Mario Carrazzo. And so she started his call sign was Sugar Bear. So she started the Sugar Bear Foundation, and her foundation supports nonprofit organizations that help Gold Star families. So, talking to Jennifer about that whole process that they went through. And then, so, again, continuing to turn the kaleidoscope with a focus on Gold Star families, the interview I did last week with Ronnie Reyes, Gold Star son. Father was killed when he was 4 months old. So, if you haven't heard those interviews, I would recommend that you, by all means, listen to them, because they're people who have incredible life experiences and are part of our tribe. And so they're awesome interviews. But anyway, I played those yesterday. And, okay, I'm going to grope through, and I'll do it live, just so you can participate in what's called on-air production.
Case, I went down to see the recruiter before, and he just to visit most of them.
Kelly's funny, though. I mean, he's, like, legit funny. Okay? And talking about his life, how he joins the Marine Corps, like we do with everybody.
Not so much today. It's history so long ago. But we really weren't, as a country, we had really turned our back on a lot of things, too, in terms of the neighborhood antics and the Jack and command of the 1st Marine Division. And I had...
Ann Taylor.
They don't anymore. I mean, they could be put back on. And they had the Marines about 50.
He's... In the interview, you hear something that he did. He was thanking people when after his change of command when he was a lieutenant colonel. And the woman's name was Priscilla, and she had a something last name. I can't remember what it was. But he said Priscilla Presley. And I'd like to thank whatever the names of the key wives were. You know, Rachel Ray. And then he says Priscilla Presley. And then he said, and so-and-so, they did a magnificent job, and he's talking, and he keeps going, and then all of a sudden he stops, and he looks and he says, did I say Priscilla Presley? And he said, no, it's Priscilla McNamara. And then he laughs, and then he looks and he says, but now that I think about it, it would have been kind of interesting to have Priscilla Presley around. He says, one of the great recoveries I've ever seen. John Kelly, funny.
Those two gentlemen attended during the 2 years I worked on. It was absolutely fascinating time. Combat time, you know, being a...
That you see every day with these young...
You know, in the neighborhood of about 200 times. And some of those times with guys like, Secretary Gates, who went up frequently. I can't imagine being this kid's mother, father, whatever. And the kind of people they were just salt of the earth, just wonderful, wonderful people. And I could tell you a couple of interesting stories. They're just the best. But then...
Okay, so this talks about his time going to Bethesda. And I think we then, because I asked him about the question I asked that I had seen, and I used to quote him, you know, when people would ask me, you know, oh, both your boys are in the Marine Corps, how do you feel about that? And I used to quote, I still do when asked, I quote General Kelly when he was talking about his son, and he said it many times now. He said, you know, what I had to come to grips with as a father is that Robert was doing what he thought he should be doing with people he loved and doing what he loved to do. He said, as a father, I have to be okay with that. And it's the right answer. It's the right answer. And so I asked him about that, and he's explaining the answer here and about what happened when he got notified.
As I said, it was unimaginable. And then the funerals, of course, you can't even begin to imagine that. And I would tell you I was right. I could not imagine how bad it was until Joe Dunford, who's currently the chairman of the Joint Staff, came to the house one very early in the morning. And it was funny. It was the day before the Marine Corps birthday. And I was leaving the house at 6 o'clock. Over in the Navy Yard in Washington, and he was standing there in service alphas. And I thought, first thought that came to mind was, this isn't Marine Corps birthday. And then I thought to myself, even if it is, what is he doing here? And then I knew. So,
you knew?
That I just knew. He didn't have to tell me, although he did tell me. You know, he's been a real official.
Right.
And of course, you know, we're very, very close friends over the years.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you go into the You're waiting for the remains to come back, and then ultimately to bury over in Arlington. We buried them all over in Arlington, and the one thing you keep asking for is, why the hell did this happen? And as I say, Mike, it came to me, you know, that didn't matter what I thought. He was obviously doing what he wanted to do, and he was exactly in that place. I had an interesting, he would call us, as 3-5 was getting pretty banged up, and he would call or email us and say, hey, this guy that belongs to me just got hit, you know, can you check on him? We were up the hospital quite a bit, lieutenants, as they say, big country west of, he lives down in Georgia now, lost a leg in an eye, James Bidler, both legs, above the knee. He's finished, went to New York University, got a master's degree, works as a stockbroker up to now. We're still in contact with him and his wife. But
so there's a great yeah. picture of Byler doing rehab, and his,
yeah.
for those of you who have never seen it, he's got high above the knee amputations, and you see him with this determined look on his face going up these stairs doing his physical therapy, and you look at that. In fact, it's on my computer right now. And you look at that and you think, you know what? And that whole phrase, where do we get these guys?
Yeah.
You know, where do we get these guys? And I'll never forget that picture or that kid. What a tough kid. And
yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. One of the ones Robert asked that we go check on, his FO was 81s, but he was also his RDFO. He's a Lance Corporal, 19-year-old. We're still, again, very close. In fact, we'll go to his wedding in Minnesota in October. But he was in ICU, and happened to be in uniform, and oh, I was always in uniform, I guess. And his parents were there, typical, you know, just, again, the deer in the headlights looks like, what the hell. And I said, told him who I was, and he was very sedated, but not so much that he didn't understand. He grabbed me by the arm, and he said, sir, you got to get to Lieutenant Kelly. You got to call him. You got to tell him to stop. You got to tell him to stop going on every patrol. He doesn't have to. He said, sir, he's living on luck. It won't last forever. About 3 days later, Robert was killed.
Wow.
And again, if you're a Marine and you hear those words, you know that probably the best, you know, you would never want those words to lead to death. But if someone ever said that about Mike McNamara or John Kelly, I'd be pretty darn impressed, particularly if it was a 19-year-old combat veteran from Minnesota. So that's what that's all about.
My guest this morning is
John Kelly.
You know, and I think it's kind of interesting. A week ago, I went to Ken Pipes' funeral, and I was talking to one of the corpsmen, Doc Sissel, who's in the video. And, you know, he's talking. He said, there's no way I should be alive. And you get to the discussion that, you know, you can say what you want about, you know, why different. It's completely random why some people live and some people die. And there is no better explanation. You know, you see guys who, and I say this because when General Kelly talks about, you know, that FO saying, sir, at some point his luck's going to run out. You know that's true. And you hear guys, I think that Mike Strank said that to his parents before he went to Iwo Jima. Mike Strank, sergeant, when he was the squad leader of Ira Hayes and John Bradley supported his squad and all those guys who put up were a part of the working party that was the second flag raising on Mount Suribachi. Mike Strank was their squad leader, and to them he was a god. But before he left home in Pennsylvania, he told his family, he said, I don't think I'm coming home. And, you know, you can imagine how shocking it was. And I don't know who in his family, I don't know that he said that to his mom, but maybe his dad, because it's been relayed, in different books about Mike Strang. And, he said, look, there's only so much luck anybody has. And at some point it runs out. And I think everybody who's ever been to war, who contemplates it, who sees it on a daily basis, who reflects on it, comes to that conclusion. Like, I don't really understand the God who governs the flight of metal through the air, but he or she is a fickle son of a bitch, because it doesn't make any sense to me. And I know that, you know, if you survive, you know, it might be by a little skill some days, but on most days, it's luck. It's luck. It just didn't hit you. The Marine Corps in Belly Woods. Yeah. 5th Marines represented Belly Woods. I know my son was talking about different guys from the battalion that were going to get to go and how fired up they were about it. So the Commandant was there. Very cool story. So that went on over the weekend. Couple things I read that I would tell you to take a look at. Coming on the heels of one, there's an article written by a guy who I don't really like, but the article's interesting. I don't like him because a year and a half ago an F-18 crashed in Point Nine Palms. Major by the name of Norton, call sign Stranger. Neff wrote in the Washington Post. He's now working at the New York Times. So Neff, former Marine. Iraq guy, I think Lance Corporal there, he wrote that the plane broke up before impact. He wrote that the morning after the crash. It wasn't, and it wasn't true. Now, he's a reporter. He's a reporter. Now, I never saw a retraction. I never saw an apology. I never saw shit. So, Neff, I don't like him. I would recommend, though, read, there's an article with his byline on it, written on May 24th, appears in the New York Times, how a four-hour battle between Russian mercenaries and U.S. Special Forces, it says commandos, but we don't have commandos, unfolded in Syria. Pretty interesting. Do you remember, I want to say it was in February, somewhere between 200 and 500, depending on who you read, Russians were killed in this thing. And it is pretty amazing when you read about the battle. There were a Marine infantry platoon involved in it. And here's the other thing I'll say. Now, I try not to be a SEAL hater, okay, but I don't like them, okay? I think their culture is a sick culture. And I think that the things that you read about, are testament to how sick their culture is. Okay? And so, but I try not to hate on them. Okay? Because I'm sure in all of that, there's a lot of good guys. Their problem is their culture has been hijacked from them. But you haven't read anything about this event, have you? There hasn't been anything written about it. Who do you think was involved in it? I'll give you a choice. Delta Force or the SEALs? Exactly. Delta Force. You haven't heard anything about it. Delta Force are the true special operations professionals of the American military. The Rangers, Delta Force. You don't hear shit about what MARSOC does, right? They're going down that road. The Marine Raiders, as they're known today. Had the SEALs been a part of this thing, there'd already be a movie out on it. Clown-like. But it is really interesting talking about these Russian mercenaries, who organize them, what their mission is in Syria, how they stay a compartment away from the Russian military, and how they just got smoked. There was, you know, there were several hundred, probably estimated close to 500 or more troops involved in this on the Russian side. There was 40 at most. There was 30 initially Americans with pro or anti-Assad forces, most of them Kurds, at this firm base. And the Russians brought T-72 tanks, self-propelled artillery, and let it rip. And they got it on. And we obviously had been watching them mass. And we cut loose our aviation assets along with our direct fire assets and annihilated them. The best quote, Mattis has such a gift for quotes, right? I'll read you one quote from the Secretary of Defense. It's awesome. I'll post the link on the read board here in a little bit. The Russian high command in Syria assured us it was not their people. So they see these guys massing. They see the different assets. They see tanks, and they're like, what is this? So the deconfliction line, right? We get on the deconfliction side line and say, hey, we're watching this. If you know who this is, all right, you ought to tell them to stop. Yeah, we don't know who that is. All right. Here's the quote. The Russian high command in Syria assured us it was not their people. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis told senators in testimony last month. He said he directed General Joseph Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, for the force then to be annihilated. And it was. That's his quote. I directed that the force be annihilated, and it was. Annihilated. You don't hear that word used often. That's awesome. The I gotta read you one email too. It's pretty funny. It has to do with life. We were talking about ECPs and yoking up vehicles and how all that stuff worked. And Alabama man sends me an email that says this. Here's a good ECP story for you. We had an impound lot as well. Okay, so that means when you stop people, yanked them out of their car and they went to jail, they're, you had to have some place to put their car. So that's what everybody's impound lot was, right? And we yoked up some military-age males driving a new Mercedes. The gunny that was running the ECP was apparently saving the car for the SEALs that would use our ECP every once in a while to do SEAL things, whatever those are. So this gunny was planning on giving the SEALs the car. I didn't know that. So I proceeded to destroy the car with my K-bar boots, buttstock, whatever I could destroy this thing. um, and he took a sledgehammer to the car. I went at this car for who knows how long. That chicken shit gunny, fired from Stapleton, was pissed. I filled sandbags for a couple days between posts. Totally worth it. And he goes on. We had a racetrack around the ECP that was pretty epic. My team leader was an amateur rally driver and totally thrashed some of those vehicles. ECP duty was awesome. So you wonder what Marines do on an ECP in Iraq or Afghanistan when it's boring. We got all these cars, like we could make a track and race around it. Hey, that's a good idea. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, let me tell you what we're going to do on the program today. In about 7 minutes, yeah, I'll just briefly touch on these headlines, won't talk about them, I'll just give them to you. And Duffy White, Tim Lynch are going to join us. We're going to talk about the Marine Corps going to the nine-man rifle squad. I'm going to pay a paid political advertisement by the Commandant of the Marine Corps as he seeks to explain and why the Marine Corps has gone to a smaller version of the Marine Rifle Squad, why that makes sense to somebody. Okay. Let me read you an email. Hey, Mac, I want to thank you and Gunner for the quality advice about education. And Memorial Day doesn't belong to us. It belongs to them. It's their event. We support it. I think that resonated with me. And honestly, it helped me cope. Sometimes I get really irritated with the dumb shit people say on Memorial Day. But for whatever reason, I think that advice lowered my expectations, and I didn't get frustrated. I just know that they're ignorant. They just don't know. Just wanted to give you a shout-out. I enjoy the program. But I, probably like a few others, had a better Memorial Day because of that advice. It's amazing what you can learn if you keep your ears open. Yeah, but it's only taken us, like, how many years to get there? Because, again, I've gone through, like, think like everybody does, stay away from the TV, right? Don't dwell on it, you know, keep the door shut, you know, don't walk down there. And, and then I don't want to say spring-loaded, but sensitive to people being disrespectful. Now I'm okay with their ignorance. I get it. I understand. You just don't know. I can teach if you want to learn, though. All right. So that's what we're doing this morning. The National Anthem, I guess, officially starts the program some 56 minutes into it. So good morning. This is dedicated to all the people that had something to do with putting up the monument to the 5th Marines Vietnam War Memorial. as it's known. So God bless them. To me, it epitomizes what the phrase Semper Fidelis means to us, our motto, words that we live by, right? But 50 years later, to raise close to $500,000 to forever commemorate the lives and the sacrifice that you were witness to, that were part of your unit, is truly the definition of what it means, of what Semper Fidelis means. So this version of this song is dedicated to all the people, the Dana Point 5th Marines support group, all the other people that had a hand in this. God bless you, and this is dedicated to you. That great little intro, and then I play the wrong song. Nice.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
All right, Tim Lynch, Duffy White, standing by. I'll check the weather in Marineland, and then we'll take a break. We'll get them on, and then we'll talk about stuff. We used to do these things in Quantico, and this is what this is modeled on. They were called NASH sessions. spelled G-N-A-S-H. Kelly Conway looks good today. Kelly Conway's got some bags under her eyes issues. And it's rough. I mean, you know, women get held to a different standard. Like Secretary of Defense, he's got the same issue. Bill Clinton has the same issue. But you know what? Nobody says anything about them. Right? Kelly Conway? Kellyanne Conway? She gets... Some days, wow, not good. And then she got to be on TV all the time. So anyway, and you know, people are just brutal too. So Kellyanne, she looks good today. She got it under control. Must have got a lot of rest over the weekend. Cloudy and 74 in Quantico. Clouds, rain, and 78 at Camp Lejeune. They got some weather warnings in effect on the East Coast. Whoa, Texas. Partly sunny, 87 degrees already. Montana, partly cloudy, 64 right now. 29 Palms, partly sunny, 78. Pendleton, clouds and 62. First Marine Division still on their 96. Yeah, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Boom. Nice. Cloudy, dark, and 81 in Okinawa, so it's warmed up there. Marja warmed up there as well. It is dark, clear, and 91 in the land of the poppy. Clouds in 62. At the home of All Marine Radio. Headed for a high of 70 with partly cloudy skies. 69 tomorrow and 69 on Thursday. All right, that's a look at your weather. When we come back, you're going to hear from Duffy White and you're going to hear from Tim Lynch. Okay? So these Nash session things where we would get together and you know, you know, there are a lot of them general officers now. You know, Duffy got out as a colonel. Lynch got out as a major. But you guys like Paul Kennedy, who's currently running two events in the Marine Corps, Marine Corps Recruiting Command, and also Office of Legislative Affairs. Just had a Brigadier General get booted out of there, so Kennedy's running that. He was a part of it. Dave Furness, who's about to become the Division Commander, 2nd Marine Division, he's a part of them. I'm trying to think who else would. I don't know if Luke Caparata and Jody Osterman. I think they came on occasion. But we would get together and we would argue about stuff. Somebody would present a paper, and then we would get after it, and then we'd talk about whatever else. Normally, you know, over a few beers, but it was in a classroom at IOC, and we'd argue. And these guys are smart guys, so we're going to do a little bit of that. The subject today is the 9-man. Rifle squad. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah. Holy shit. I just got an email from somebody that was there. His name is Ken. Glad you met Carlos Mendez of Bravo 15. He is one hell of a good guy with experiences on the first day of Tet in 1968, about which one can only say, holy shit. It was very interesting for all of us that day, but holy shit. By the way, I was sitting several rows ahead of that asshole with the phone that with the never-ending ringtone. Almost expected him to answer it and start jabbering. Balloon, string, wrist. Balloon, string, wrist. Balloon, string, wrist. Next time, get it right. Semper Fidelis, Ken. Yeah, you imagine that. What a dope. All right, so you're going to hear Duffy White, Tim Lynch, smart guys. Well, kind of smart. Pretty smart. Pretty smart. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.